Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the golf course of free speech. You come out here, you drive, you putt, you do all that stuff freely. Drive free, putt free. What else can you do free? Well, you listen to this radio program for free, but it takes money. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, or break out the boomer checkbook, or go to the Piggly Wiggly, get a money order, or just put some cash into an envelope and send it to Republic Broadcasting, RBN. Just send it to RBN. That's good enough. RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or call into Mike or Julie. They will take your money. Or Sam on the weekends. He'll take your money. Find the phone number. I don't have that memorized yet, but it's coming. That is coming. Big things are coming. Okay. So, you might have noticed I didn't do a show with Cato this week. We tried and tried and tried, and for whatever reason, our Skype connection just won't last more than 5 minutes. It got very frustrating, and so we're just taking a break this week. So I'm going to go solo, but I'm going to go solo on China stuff to a large extent, because this is the big thing. You know, when did I start recording with Cato? Was it 2.5 years ago? It was a while back. I think it was it was in the summer. So we've been doing these more or less weekly shows on China. And I think, you know, it might be getting up some people's noses because this is America. And but that's kind of the thing. Because we want to fix America. America is on fire. Our house is a burning inferno of a wreck. It is a complete disaster. But it's not because of China. And increasingly, I mean, there was all 2.5 years ago, I think that's when it was, when we started doing these shows, there was already indications of it. And it's accelerating. So, for instance, this week, I didn't get to see Tucker's show for Wednesday night, but I saw it Monday and Tuesday night, and he's talking about January 6th, but he keeps making these gratuitous references to China. Why? Mitch McConnell, who's living off Chinese money. Really? He's living off Chinese money. You know, David Duke will, can I say ad nauseum? I mean, he will list the top donors to the Hillary Clinton campaign, 17 out of the top 20, and he'll list their names ad nauseum, meaning until you throw up. He will do that. And he will name the names of the Class B shareholders of the New York Times. He will go through those names ad nauseum until you've thrown up. I've thrown up listening to him say that. This is real stuff. And yet Tucker Carlson just will say, China, all these people are on China's payroll. Really? Because if, for instance, with Hillary Clinton, if the top, like 16, 17 out of the top 20 donors are Jews, how many could possibly be Chinese? I'll tell you what, zero. And so he just makes these accusations. It's not just Tucker. And so CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, is that what it stands for? I think that's what it stands for. It's a yearly event. There are a lot of these yearly events, right? You know, people look at the World Economic Forum. That's not the only yearly event. There are a lot of yearly events. And so you've got this year, the APAC is a yearly event. And of course, it's also got a standing organization that's up to mischief all year round. But CPAC, so they have their big annual event. And Trump was there, and Trump said some interesting stuff. He said some stuff on behalf of white people. He said that he would end the Ukraine war on day one. Is that where he called out Victoria Nuland by name? And I give him credit. I will give him credit. He fired Victoria Nuland the very first day he came in office. He took a break from dancing with his lovely wife, his beautiful wife, to fire Victoria Nuland. So that was a good thing. But he starts saying he's going to cut off all trade with China. All right. Like, I mean, Trump's original approach in his first term, having a trade war with China, I mean, he called it a trade war. Really, he was just renegotiating trade deals. That was fine. I'm all for fair trade. I'm all for renegotiating trade deals. That's fine. And he did it without rancor. Well, should I say without rancor? He did it with amusing rancor. Let's say that, because he would say things like, "These trade deals. Who negotiated these things? These trade deals with China." China, they're raping us. They're completely raping us. But you can't blame them. It was the idiots who renegotiated these deals. Who negotiates deals like that? So he was saying stuff like that. And they'd say, well, Xi Jinping is his friend. Okay? So he's going to have negotiations with the Chinese so they stop raping us. But it's not their fault because, you know, the trade negotiators sold the American worker into white slavery or whatever. But, you know, it wasn't with hostility, okay? That's one thing. But now he's saying cut off all trade. It's basically what he said. Specifically, what did he say? That he would raise tariffs on all sorts of Chinese products so that we wouldn't import them anymore. That's basically saying cut off trade. So, okay, well, good luck with that. By the way, China's got twice as large an industrial base as we do. We don't have an industrial base anymore. I don't know how you're going to do that. Whatever. It's... we'll have massive inflation. I'm not saying we... You know, I'm for manufacturing in the United States, but you're not in 4 years... I mean, even Vladimir Putin, who is a much better economic manager than anybody where could conceivably have in the United States, took him more than 4 years to reorient his economy to get manufacturing going again in his economy. And he's a much better economic manager. You know, the funny thing is, Vladimir Putin has sound economic policies. There's little immigration into Russia. It's pro-family. I mean, why is it that conservatives think that they have to hate on Putin? He's actually everything that they think that they want. So, I don't know. Maybe they've got Putin envy. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But getting back on China, so you had the Trump say what he said. Then you've got this Indian guy, 37-year-old Indian guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, was that his name? Ramaswamy? I think that's what it was, something like that. And he's wants to end affirmative action. Good, okay. How about ending H-1B visas? I wonder if he would say that. Maybe he would. But then he's also hostile to China. And, of course, there was this boomer white guy, supposedly a billionaire, who's had taken out ads for the Super Bowl saying he's running for president. I've never heard of him. I don't know his name. And he talked at CPAC a little bit, at least, and said he was, pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, fiscal conservatism, and anti-China. He ended it up with anti-China. That's the theme there. That is an applause line, to say you're anti-China. And so you're getting an awful lot of this, and it's It's very alarming because, you know, we, when I say we, the United States under its Jewish-dominated government, under the Jewish-dominated elites, the United States is losing a proxy war with Russia. We're absolutely, the United States is absolutely losing it. And it's going to cause a lot of trouble for the elites. They're going to have, I mean, I don't watch CNN or MSNBC or NBC News or CBS News. I don't watch any of this stuff. But when my exposure to the mainstream media is mostly when I guess I open up a browser page, and am I getting the Yahoo feed or the Microsoft Network feed? I'm getting some feed from one of the tech companies that has ABC News articles or CNN articles or whatever. And I see these headlines. And the headlines will read, Putin is dying of cancer and wants to take everybody with him. Just like all this insane stuff. Putin's generals are sick of him because they're losing the war. Just all this stuff that is just completely divorced from reality. And sooner or later, you got to pay the piper. And what I mean is that how are they going to hide the reality that the Ukrainian army is collapsing when it finally does collapse? I mean, what they're doing now is they're just throwing middle-aged men into a meat grinder, trying to stave off retreating from places that they're eventually going to retreat from. They're just throwing personnel at it. It's not going well. What happens then? Is there going to be any kind of accountability? Well, I mean, what it seems like is they're preparing just to have a new thing. And the new thing will probably be Taiwan. They'll probably try to provoke something in Taiwan. It's not going to go well. And, you know, how long can you have these proxy wars against nuclear powers without it leading to World War III? Honestly, I think the United States is on the verge of some sort of collapse. And I was on, I was on Jeremy's show last night talking about it. I was on, Mark Collett had a big shindig on Tuesday afternoon. And I was one of, I think, 24 guests, 24, 25. Did he have 25 guests? It was something like that. And I was one of them. I followed Kevin McDonald, which was pretty good. I'm sure he had a really great lineup. But the wheels are coming off. So there's the China stuff. That's very alarming. But the China stuff is what they're trying to focus on. Now, what else is going on? Well, what else is going on is you've got, you had that blow up with Kanye West last autumn, which was very exciting and got to the point where he said he loves Hitler, right? And now he's been kind of, we haven't been hearing much from him, but there is stuff going on. Nick Fuentes a few days ago said on his show that Kanye West has sent him his manifesto. Then he went and said, well, not so much a manifesto, but a list of ideas. And they're working on this. And Kanye West, he's going through a lot in his personal life, and he's gotten remarried. And but he's indicated that he will run for president. And it's not as if I expect Kanye West to be elected president of the United States, but presidential campaigns are vehicles for ideas and movements. And I think there's a lot that could happen. And Nick Fuentes, he went to the CPAC. I was talking about the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. Is that what it is? And he went there. He got kicked out because he doesn't share their values. They say he doesn't share their values, but they have Lady MAGA, the transsexual or transvestite or what is it? Tranny? Some sort of tranny walking around So lady, certain transsexuals and homosexuals and all sorts of weird people share their conservative values, but Nick Fuentes, a pro-white Christian, America First guy, well, those values, they can't abide by those values. At any rate, so Nick had he rented some sort of venue, probably nearby in the same city, and had a lot of his own supporters, and he gave a speech, and I was listening to it. I didn't get to the end of it, and you know, it's interesting, but he was talking about love. He said he's a Christian and he loves everybody. So why can't Kanye West say he loves Hitler? Why can't he say that? Why, as Nick Fuentes said, why, as somebody who was born in 1998, does he have to be, do all, you know, does all of his self-imposed speech censorship have to revolve around events that happened to different people over half a century before he was born, right? And as a Christian, he's supposed to love everybody. Why can't he love Hitler, right? He said Nick Fuentes doesn't like the ADL, but he loves the people there because he's a Christian. He doesn't like the SPLC, but he loves the people who work there because he's a Christian. Why can't he love Hitler? And you know, the thing is, why can't these people just get over it? First of all, they won't allow for any historical inquiry. And a lot of the things that have been said about the events in Central Europe in the 30s and the 40s, a lot of the stuff that, you know, I grew up, I mean, to the extent I heard about anything, I didn't hear about much until maybe the 1970s, and then it was lampshades and soap, which of course turned out to be, they've backed away from that, but that was a thing, lampshades and soap, a lot of things. They've had to back away from some things, but why? Why? And, you know, how about something else? The British and the French fought wars. 30 years war, they fought all sorts of wars for a long, long time. The French and the Germans fought wars over and over and over again. I think they've gotten over it. They've buried the hatchet. So, you know, the Americans dropped nuclear bombs on the Japanese and they firebombed the Japanese. The Japanese got over it. Why? Why can't other people get over it? Why can't other people, why can't Jews realize, well, okay, maybe some things happened to us. But guess what? Jews were belligerents in the events of the first half of the 20th century. Absolutely belligerents. It gets covered up. People say all sorts of things. They'll talk about a Russian revolution, which, well, it was a Jewish takeover of Russia, was the Russian Revolution. That, you know, they'll talk about Bolshevik takeovers of Hungary. Well, it was Jewish. They'll talk about a lot of things. A lot of things never get talked about. No, the Jews were absolutely belligerents in the events of the first half of the 20th century. Anyway, I think it's significant that somebody as prominent as Kanye West and then somebody with as much promise as Nick Fuentes is not talking just about Jewish power, but talking about Hitler and normalizing Hitler. And then you've got all these young people. And, you know, Nick's got a fair-sized audience. I don't know how big it is, but it's big enough. And normalizing Hitler. They say we're young and we don't know. We won't find out till we grow. Well, I don't know. While that's true, 'cause you got me. I got you, babe.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Biden's budget proposal is out. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Liberty Lighthouse Wellness, my brand new Made in America supplement line. Find them in the shop at liberty-lighthouse.com. President Biden's budget suggests increasing the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%, ensuring that, quote, large corporations pay their fair share, end quote. The administration estimates this would generate $1.326 trillion in revenue. Sure, increasing corporate tax might raise federal revenue. It also might cause corporations to fire employees to make up the difference. A 7% increase in corporate tax may also cause the cost of everything that you buy to go up by 7%. After all, an inconvenient truth is that only consumers pay taxes. Biden is also attempting to roll back part of the Trump tax cuts. And remember that promise? No tax increases for anyone earning less than $400,000? Well, we all knew it was a lie, but rolling back a cut is the same thing as an increase. Hopefully, the House of Representatives won't take the $6.8 trillion budget proposal seriously. Ah, crap. That means all of our hope lies in Kevin McCarthy's hands. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, see this Hashem. Parabellum.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
About Hitler and normalizing Hitler, and then you've got all these young people. And, you know, Nick's got a fair-sized audience. I don't know how big it is, but it's big enough. And normalizing Hitler. It's unfortunate. I mean, like, there are people who look at Hitler as a hero. You know, my hero in my younger years, my political hero was Mikhail Gorbachev. I do recognize that to a large extent he failed. Not totally. I mean, he got the ball rolling. He got things rolling in the Soviet Union. The wheels fell off. It didn't go the way he wanted. But Vladimir Putin was able to come by after an interim of 8 years or so. He was able to come by and save the day, but really save the project. Really save the project that Gorbachev began. So you got Gorbachev, you got Vladimir Putin. Gorbachev was definitely too trusting. He erred on the side of being too trusting. Hitler, you know, any fair-minded person, if you go back and you look at the Treaty of Versailles, the Versailles Treaty, and the what was imposed on on Germany in the wake of World War I, the peace settlement, it was absolutely positively unfair. That should never have happened, and any fair-minded person would realize that. Adolf Hitler, in, you know, it, the thing, okay, here's the thing, like, Chairman Mao, this is a China-themed show, there's a joke that goes around in China, that went around for a while at least, that if Chairman Mao had died in 1956, meaning, you know, just before embarking on the Great Leap Forward, if he had died in 1956, historians would look back at him as the greatest Chinese statesman ever, right? Because he united the country after a century of civil war and warlordism and all sorts of things. He would have been looked at as greatest statesman in Chinese history. Had he died in 1966, in other words, before the Cultural Revolution, he would have been looked at as a great Chinese statesman who had made some mistakes, made some big mistakes. But he died in 1976, meaning that by 1976 he had screwed up enough that you don't even have to look at him as being a great man anymore. But the fact, the kernel of truth that we get from that joke is that there's actually something to be said for Mao in the earlier parts of his career. Okay. Not that you necessarily would want to root for him historically. Maybe Chiang Kai-shek was who you want to root for. Maybe it was that pro-Japanese Chinese warlord. I don't know his name. Anyway, with Hitler, Hitler came in, and there was a, back in the 1980s or 90s, I think it was in the 1990s, there was a woman who owned the Cincinnati Reds, and her name was Marge, I think it was Marge Schlock, I think that was her name, Marge Schlock, it was something like that. You can figure out who I'm talking about by doing a Google search, Cincinnati Reds, Marge something, I think it's Marge Schlock, and then Hitler. And she said, everybody knows that when Hitler first came in, he was good. He did good things. She said something very close to that statement. Everybody knows, like, that at first Hitler was good. He came in and he got people out, got people working. He got German industry going again. He discarded the humiliation of the occupation of the Rhineland and all sorts of stuff. You could at some point, though, at some point by 1945, his country lay in ruins. And some people might say, well, there was really no, he did everything he could do. The task was just too hard. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's conceivable, but I doubt it. I think that Herr Hitler, if he could do it all over again, he would probably do things somewhat differently. What would he do differently? I don't know. But at some point, he might have said, "I'm going to cash in my chips and just hold tight for a while."
Once a jolly swagman camped by the Billy Bong under the shade of a coolabah tree. When he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled, "You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me."
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
At some point, he might have said, I'm going to cash in my chips and just hold tight for a while instead of pushing. He probably pushed too hard, okay? But what's the point I'm trying to make here? I think the point I'm trying to make is that Germany was in very dire straits, and Hitler came along, and at least for a while, he was a savior. But he was probably, I think it's safe to say that he tried to do too much too soon, okay? Maybe he was a little bit too distrustful. Tons of people would disagree with me, and maybe I'm wrong. I tend to think that Stalin was risk-averse. A lot of people would disagree, and maybe they're right. Maybe if Hitler hadn't invaded the Soviet Union, they would have invaded... The Soviet Union would have invaded Hitler. I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But at any rate, things didn't work out in the end for Germany. Just as things didn't work out well for Russia. I mean, Mikhail Gorbachev, a hero of mine, who was maybe too cautious, whereas Hitler was too reckless, too untrusting. Gorbachev maybe was too trusting, and his country wasn't as devastated as Germany in 1945, but it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. When he left office, things got really bad in a hurry. And so Putin, point I make about Putin, this is 24 years now. He has been, well, I guess 23 and a half. It's going on 24 years since he became prime minister. He's been either prime minister or president since, I think, August 1999. And has it ever done better? I mean, it's better than ever, probably. I think it's probably better than ever. In a lot of ways, I think it is. It's better than ever. That's pretty good. Could he maybe, you know, some people will say, well, he was too cautious. He was too trusting. He let this stuff go on in Donbass for 8 years. These people played him. And maybe. Although, honestly, it's hard to argue with success. And then the other thing, people say, well, he should have gone into Ukraine faster. He should have gone in like a blitzkrieg style. Well, okay, militarily, he could have done the blitzkrieg, okay? But diplomatically, would he have been able to build an economic block that would support him? Because he's got an economic block supporting him. He's got China, he's got India, he's got Indonesia. He's got lots and lots of countries that, had he gone in blitzkrieg style, they might not have broken the sanctions for him. These countries, mostly in Asia, but to an extent in South America, you know, Brazil didn't go along with the sanctions. African countries aren't going along with the sanctions. But the Asian countries are the most important because they got the big economies. He might have won the war, but then lost the sanctions. But the way it's worked out is he's winning the war more slowly than a lot of people would want, but he's also winning the sanctions. He and the Chinese are transforming international politics. The age of the unipolar moment is a thing of the past. It's a thing of the past. We are no longer in the unipolar moment. We are no longer in a world where the United States can just do what it wants, because it's not getting what it wants. And when I say United States, I mean the Zaire United States. And unfortunately, this unipolar moment has been a Zaire. It's been a Zaire-polar moment is what it's been. The unipolar moment, supposedly from the time that the Soviet Union broke up. Some people might want to... The Soviet Union broke up at the end of 1991. The fall of the Berlin Wall was the autumn of 1989. But it was really the breakup of the Soviet Union. That's the unipolar moment. But, you know, what if before the breakup of the Soviet Union, at the beginning of 1991, you had a U.S. invasion of Iraq for Israel? When you get down to it, I mean, the Israelis wanted that. There was no reason we needed to do that. And throughout the 90s, I mean, the Clinton administration was thoroughly Jewish. The unipolar moment has not been the peak of power for the American people. It's been the peak of power for Jewish power. It has been the climax of Jewish power. It's been a humiliation for the American nation. The climax of Jewish power coincides with, not just coincides with, but causes the, what's the opposite of the zenith? So you got the zenith of Jewish power is the nadir. I think that's what you call the nadir, not like Ralph Nader, but the nadir of the power of the American people. It's been the destruction of the American people. The American people will not survive this. The North Korean people are surviving. They are still there. Not that things are great under their government, but they're still there. Their government has not destroyed them. The Zog has destroyed the American people. I mean, it's in the act of destroying. The American people, to the extent that the American nation survives, it's going to be in some sort of truncated, hybridized form. I mean, what's the best you can hope for? Some people would say, oh, well, you get some, in Montana or Idaho. I mean, even now, Idaho is getting all woke, too. Boise is like a hipster town. So good luck with that idea. You might get rural areas. Rural America, the American nation may survive in rural America. But, Mayberry, to an extent, Mayberry may survive if it can get off of opioids. Mayberry might survive, all right? But the suburbs, of the Brady Bunch or whatever, that's gone. If you grew up in the suburbs, the America that you grew up in the 60s or the 70s or probably the 80s, that America is not coming back. It may be replaced with a multi-ethnic kind of somewhat hybridized. And this is a long shot, really, but you may get some sort of multiracial suburbia that will still give kind of a lip service of honor to the founding fathers and the principles that the United States once upon a time embodied. It might happen. I think that's kind of a long shot, but it could happen. It could happen. Mayberry may survive. The suburbs, and then the cities are so long gone. The cities are so long gone. There are parts. Like, I've been in Chicago not too long ago. I was in Boston. I was in Brooklyn. And, there's some nice neighborhoods. But, even these nice neighborhoods, it's different people. It's H-1B visa people. It's Indians. It's, Orientals. And kind of yuppie whites, hipster whites. And then you got Mexicans or Guatemalans who are doing working in the restaurants. I mean, it's not horrid, but it's not any kind of traditional America, and it's also in very, very close proximity, all of these places, with large black ghettos, large, highly dysfunctional black ghettos who have complete access to the nice areas. They have access to it. And so you can come out of your nice, expensive restaurant, and you're walking down the street to where your nice, expensive SUV is parked, and you could get shot, or you could get accosted, you could get mugged, you could get beaten, you could get raped. It could happen. So, I mean, America's in such bad shape. But honestly, I don't want to focus too much on looking at what can be salvaged from it, because the fire is ongoing. And when the fire is ongoing, you shouldn't stand around talking about how you're going to rebuild. When the fire is ongoing, you got to put out the fire. The only way to put out the fire is to talk about Jewish power. To talk about Jewish power. Very few people are doing this. The way to put out the fire is not... I mean, even Vladimir Putin isn't talking about it. I mean, he's fighting Jewish power. He's at war with Jewish power. And yet he won't even talk about it. Which is a shame. I don't question... Vladimir Putin's done as good a job. He's a much better job than I ever expected him or any other foreign leader to do. But, even Vladimir Putin isn't talking about Jewish power. It could happen. I mean, honestly, I could see Dmitry Medvedev the former president of Russia, the seat warmer president, when Putin was term limited out of the presidency and back into the prime minister's office. You had Dmitry Medvedev, and he's still an important person. He's playing bad cop to Putin's good cop. I could see him talking about Jewish power. Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, has a little bit talked about Jewish power, but he's not good at it. These people are not good at it. The Chinese aren't good at it. I don't even know how well the Chinese understand it. I know the Japanese don't understand it. This is the thing. But it's so important because that's the only kryptonite. The only kryptonite to Jewish power is the discussion of Jewish power. That's the only kryptonite. And that's why they freaked out so much at Kanye. That's why I made such a big deal about Kanye. That's why I'm making such a big deal about Nick Fuentes, because Nick Fuentes is he is Kanye's campaign manager. He is Kanye's advisor who really understands things and articulates things well. So he's extremely important. And, you know, maybe you don't go into Armageddon, because we're kind of in an Armageddon now. It's kind of a bad, and I don't necessarily like using biblical language. I certainly don't like using military style language of war, because what I'm talking about is really, you know, it's not violence. I'm talking about free speech. I really am talking about free speech. And we won't have free speech. We don't have free speech if we can't talk about Jewish power. That is the number one test of it. And of course, they're super, super sensitive about the Holocaust, oh God, and Hitler. And so for Kanye West to be spreading the message of love, the love, you know, so at this conference or at this event that Nick Fuentes had with his supporters after he got kicked out of CPAC, he said something about, you know, Hitler, and then his supporters started chanting, love speech, love speech, love speech, because it's not hate speech, it's love speech, it's absolutely love speech. So, okay, I'm going to take a break for a second, I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back, it's later, I'm somewhere else. I watched Tucker Carlson's show, which I watch because it's the tip of the Normicon spear. And Monday, you know, he had released some January 6th footage. And then Tuesday, he spent his time saying how everybody wants him to stop releasing footage, but he's not going to. And he spent a lot of time saying how he's not going to stop releasing any footage, but then he didn't release any footage, which was kind of weird. Today's show was mostly footage that we had seen of the, well, actually all the January 6th footage was the same stuff we saw Monday. But he did juxtapose it with May 2020 Black Lives Matter / Antifa riots around the White House, where they, you know, partially burned down St. John's Church in Lafayette Square and surrounded the White House, and President Trump had to be evacuated to some bunker underneath the White House. And that was good. And then he had Russell Brand on. Russell Brand is some British comedian or whatever. And one of the things he said that was interesting, because I've been trying to come up with a way of saying this. You know, I've been talking about the lack of a need for conspiracy, that, you know, Jews, specifically talking about Jews, that Jews tend to prioritize what they think is good for the Jews, right? That's, they don't all have the same opinion about what's good for the Jews. They don't need to have a plan. I've been saying things like this. They don't need to have a plan. They don't need to have secret leadership. They're gonna do these things anyway because they're trying to act on, because they're ethnocentric, and they prioritize what they believe is good for the Jews. Well, that takes me a while to say. Russell Brand just quoted George Carlin as saying, where there's a convergence of interests, no conspiracy is needed. Wow. I wish I had said that. But you can believe that I will be saying that a lot in the future. I think that's a great quote. You know, I like some of these quotes. I like Mark Twain saying, oh, what did Mark Twain say? It's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled. Excellent. And here, no conspiracy is needed where there's a convergence of interest. Very good. I'm going to be using that a lot. And then he was talking about the coronavirus and saying how, basically, it was saying how...
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trail.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
It's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled. Excellent. And here, no conspiracy is needed where there's a convergence of interest. Very good. I'm going to be using that a lot. And then he was talking about the coronavirus saying how, basically, it was saying how government overreacted. They used it for their own purposes. That, you know, they could have just let people acquire natural immunity, but instead they went for a vaccine, he said, because it could be monetized, and it could be. I mean, Jeremy and I kept saying, it's almost as if they're trying to prevent natural immunity from happening so that they can roll out a vaccine. That's what we kept saying. And then he's talking to somebody else. Tucker was talking to somebody else about, I can't exactly remember, but basically downplaying. Oh, yeah, I remember. He was saying that a tennis player is being kept out of the United States because he refuses to take a medicine he doesn't need. He refuses to take the vaccine because the disease isn't that big of a deal. And then, of course, this is so much like him. After saying things like that, that the disease wasn't such a big deal, it didn't warrant all of this nonsense, all of these measures, then he pivots to hearings where they're investigating the source of the virus. This was the Chinese. It's a lab leak from the Chinese. Okay, so I agree with the first Tucker that it wasn't a big deal. And if it's not a big deal, it wouldn't even matter where the origin was, okay? It doesn't really matter. But here's the evidence, indications why I think it doesn't have to be the Chinese. Just because it was first detected in Wuhan, Americans knew that there was a lab in Wuhan. And if this is man-made, it could have been man-made in Wuhan. It could have just as easily been man-made in Chapel Hill or Fort Detrick, Maryland. And if you wanted to release a virus in China, where would you put it? You'd put it where you have plausible deniability. You'd put it where you could frame the Chinese. And the thing is, the Chinese were freaked out. They didn't seem to know what it was. And they, for a long time, until just like a few months ago, they were locking down, you know, they had this zero COVID policy. They didn't seem to know what it was. If they had developed it, you would think they would know what it was. They seemed to know not what it was. And the last thing, the other thing that Jeremy and I kept talking about was that this COVID was being used as a pretext to roll out develop the infrastructure of a totalitarian police state. This is what the Americans and the British and the Canadians and the Australians and the New Zealanders and other countries were doing. They were developing the infrastructure of a totalitarian police state. The Chinese didn't need that. The Chinese inherited a totalitarian police state from Mao. They inherited one. They have been loosening it up. They have been able to keep whatever aspects of it they wanted. There was absolutely no need for them to have a virus as a pretext to develop population control measures because they inherited anything they needed. And they've actually been moving in the opposite direction. It's also tiresome. Anyway, that's it for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low. Hearts that know no other lands, drifting to and fro. Dreamy, dreamy Chinatown, always night so bright. Night seems light and life seems bright in dreamy Chinatown.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.